What a beautiful Indian summer Wednesday, huh? Doesn't God do great work? Are you impressed with His creation all around you? Praise God. So much fun to see a couple filled with the Holy Ghost there Sunday morning. Gentleman down on the front here, he really just didn't think God would give him the Holy Ghost. He'd been feeling like that for a long, long time. But it was awesome to see him lose control and the Holy Ghost begin to speak through him. And first time visitor, still had his Walmart identification tag on. Over on right by where you are there, Brother Lou, filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues there Sunday night. Praise God. Just what a miracle. What a privilege to see those things taking place. Some wonderful Bible studies going on right now and excellent movement in the kingdom of God. This is a holiday season, so we're going to have all kinds of complicated schedules. We'll continue to have as much church as we can, and we'll continue to have good church every time we get together. But be in prayer for our church family, because beginning this week, they're going to be traveling and on the road and over the river and through the woods to grandmother's. And so just be in prayer. God will keep His people and cause them to be effective. This is a wonderful time of year, and people tend to be more spiritually vulnerable in holiday seasons, more open at a time when they are with family and a little bit more relaxed. And maybe they're remembering their childhood, who knows why. But you want to be effective as a witness during this season of time. We're going to read tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7. And we are continuing a study of the book of Ecclesiastes. We've talked about how that Solomon had drifted into a profane state of materialism and worldliness, and he had grown cynical and hard, and he was very, very depressed about life. Down toward the end of this, you can hear him, and we're going to read a little more of that tonight. But he was so empty, and this book is a cynical overview by purportedly the wisest man that ever lived. And we're gonna pursue that a little further tonight. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. And would you say, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give God praise and thanks for His word tonight. Forever settled in the heavens, we magnify You, Lord God. We give You all praise. No, you need to praise Him a little better for His word. Life-giving word. Awesome, powerful word. What a privilege to handle the word of God in this house. Praise God. Praise God. And what we'll talk about tonight is the fact that Solomon, for all of his wisdom and all of his riches and all that he accomplished and all that he built, and how that he presided over the pinnacle of Israeli history in a military sense or in their historical greatness, he came to the place where he lost the wonder of the Spirit. He was totally tied up in natural things and in natural wisdom and the pursuit of those things. Sunday night, we made mention of the fact Solomon wrote Proverbs, and they're wise and they're useful and they're the word of God. But David prayed prayers and David sang psalms. And you say, well, doesn't it take all of those? Well, yeah, it really does. And there's great diversity in the kingdom of God. But I want to suggest to you, as we dealt with it this weekend, David never lost his connection with the Spirit of God. But Solomon became mired in the natural things to the degree that he lost his love of life and and he lost the wonder of the Spirit. Chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, beginning in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This chapter, in the heart of it, is going to be about the events and a description of what happens when you are moving close to death. And he says, if you're going to serve God, you need to do it while you're young. If you're going to make a decision for God, you need to do it while you're fresh. Don't plan to leave for a little while and make your way back when you're older and when you've had all the fun you want to have. I mean, we're talking to you about a man that went into every nook and cranny of life and explored it all with great zeal. And he came out saying, it's all vanity. It's all meaningless. It's all a chasing after the wind. And so seek the Lord in the days of your youth. Verse 2, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. He's talking about the loss of your vision, the loss of your eyesight. And he's going to be very poetic. This is, matter of fact, one of the most beautiful, one of the most poetic structures concerning this discussion you're going to find in the Bible or anywhere else. Nor the clouds return after the rain. If you've ever dealt with an elder that had the stages of glaucoma, or they were getting cataracts and they had this blur going on in their vision, and the clouds return after the rain is a poetic way of describing the fact that on a clear day it's still cloudy for you, because as you age you begin to lose your vision. In the day, verse 3, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He's talking about a day when you can't keep your hands still unless you fasten them to some sort of a stable object. And the strong men shall bow themselves. He's talking about the strength of your legs and the fact that they don't have the strength to carry you as they did before. And the grinders cease because they are few. And he's talking about your teeth. And those that look out of the windows be dark. And he's talking again about your vision. Verse 4, and the doors that be shut in the streets. And he's talking about your hearing. When the sound of the grinding is low. And he says, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Old timers get up at the crack of dawn. Almost the desperation there to get up and to see the day and to visit the day, because they don't want to waste one moment of the day. And he'll rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. They can't hear what's happening in the street. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, as a youngster used to clamber and climb anywhere you wanted to, but now you're so feeble you're just glad to be able to walk across the floor and stay upright. And fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. And he's talking about the gray or the white that comes out on the top of that head. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and you just don't have the strength anymore to do what you want to do. And desire shall fail. And that's why Abram and Sarah both fell out and laughed when God said they were going to have a child. Because man goes to his long home, and the mourners go about in the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed. And he's talking about a metaphysical thing here, or a spiritual typology. He's talking about that tethers the natural to the spirit. And he calls it a silver cord. And all the days of your life, that's kept you together, body and spirit. But now he says the silver cord is loosed. And what a poetic and beautiful way to express that event at the moment of death. Or the golden bowl be broken, that precious receptacle that holds that hard to identify spirit within your life. And that bowl is broken and that life runs out. Who knows where that is and how that works? But Solomon's talking to us in a very poetic way about that. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, that place where you go to draw for drink, and the thing that you draw with is broken, and you can't refresh yourself, and you can't replenish yourself. And he's talking about images of death. Or the wheel be broken at the cistern. And there's this vision there of a wheel that retrieves water in a mechanical system, but it's broken. It had the capacity for sustaining life, but now it's broken. And he's talking about your life passing into age and then passing into death. And verse 7, then the dust returns to the earth as it was. Your body begins to deteriorate and goes back to the dust. And the spirit returns to God who gave it. You have a dual nature. You have a spirit nature and you have a natural man. And when that gold, when that silver cord is loosed, then that body will go back into the earth, and we'll have a casket and we'll have a service, and your spirit goes to wherever your eternal reward is. And verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Moreover, the preacher was wise, and he still taught the people knowledge. Even though he was disillusioned and even though he was jaded and cynical, he still taught the people knowledge. He still gave good heed, sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written upon was upright, even words of truth. He said, I didn't have any joy. We've already read where he said, I hated my life. He said, I hated the works of my hands. Everything I did, I said, it's all vanity and it's all meaningless. And he had lost his purpose, and he couldn't identify the purpose of God. But he said, I kept on teaching, and I set in order many proverbs. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find acceptable words. That which was written was upright, even the words of truth. 11, the words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. 12, and further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study there is a weariness of the flesh. He said, I'm the wisest man in the world, but he said, I'm so tired of learning, and I'm tired of studying, and everything I've pursued just makes me more so just tired in my body and in my mind and in my spirit. And in verse 13, let's just hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. Doesn't talk about joy. Doesn't talk about happiness. Doesn't talk about anything that gives you a cool drink in the hot and barren land of spiritual journey. For God will bring every work into judgment. This is a man, and his language is the language of resignation. It's the language of hopelessness. He said God will bring everything into judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm done. Just obey God. Just live for God. There's nothing else to say. Well, we go there and we say, well, that's the truth. And it is the truth. But there's no joy in the man. And there's no life in what he's telling you. He just gave you a funeral passage in this chapter. And he gave it to you classically and beautifully and poetically. But he didn't offer you any hope at all. Praise God. No joy. No passion. Resigned to the natural, fatalistic, and he's encumbered with thoughts of death. This beautiful analogy about the silver cord and the golden bowl and the pitcher broken at the fountain and the wheel broken at the cistern. What powerful images of the cessation of life and connectedness and potential. Beautiful analogy of the spiritual and natural connection at natural death. But I want to suggest to you tonight that even though he's handling this, he's gone so far that he has lost his capacity to relate natural things with spiritual things. Because he's handling some of the most beautiful and powerful imagery not only for your cessation of life and the breaking of that natural and spiritual man, but he's handling things that have to do with life in the spirit. He's handling things that powerfully and poetically describe your connection with God and life in the spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He's using wonderful and powerful language for that we do to maintain our connection between the spirit and the natural during life's journey. Praise God. When you're reading this and when you're dealing with Solomon, it's hard not to compare David and Solomon. It's hard not to think about David when you're reading the Proverbs. You're so involved with the wisdom of it and the power of it that you don't really get the taste and the sense of it there. But when you come into Ecclesiastes, you come into a cynicism and a heaviness there that just impacts you so much. I can't help but think about what a contrast between this man and his dad, between this man and David. He's living his life under the shadow of David's legacy. And I know that it's not an easy thing, but from where he started and how he was set up and what David gave him to do and the potential of what he could have been and what he could have accomplished, it is amazing to find him in this desert of depression and in this horrible, cynical state that he's in. If I could tonight, I'm going to suggest to you that David had a silver cord to the spirit. And I'm going to tell you that David had a golden bowl, but it wasn't broken. It was full. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm going to suggest to you that David had a functional pitcher, and he carried it with him, always ready to have a refilling of what God had to offer. Now, Solomon's handling that, but he can't see it for what it is. All he can see is the morose poetry of a man going down and this life ending, because he's gotten to the place. All he can see is this life, the natural things, the material things, and the natural death. But Solomon, if you just lift up your eyes just a little bit, that silver cord is a powerful idea and imagery, and it's real. That golden bowl is powerful imagery, and it's real. And we all, my God, we all need a pitcher full of what God has to offer. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Jesus came to the woman at the well, and while they were there, it was midday, and she was a harlot, had been married 6 times, and the guy she was with was not her husband. She didn't draw water in the morning with all the other ladies. She drew in the afternoon when nobody was there to hassle her. Tired of fooling with all the problems and the gossip, the labels. Jesus came and talked to her, and she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, are talking to me and I'm a Samaritan? And he began to talk to her, and he said, if you knew who I was and you knew the gift of God, you would ask of me, I'd give you to drink. And if you drink of this, you'll never thirst again. She said, evermore, give me this water. He began to deal with her failures. He began to deal with her sin. Before it was over, she recognized that he was the Messiah, and she ran down to the city to get everybody there and say, come, see a man that told me everything I ever did. Jesus met her at a well. When she left her water pot sitting there. She left her pitcher sitting there. I want you to understand something, that God has something to give you, that if you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. God has something that'll quench the darkness of cynicism. God has something that'll raise you up beyond the skeptic's view. God will lift you up to a place where you can see hope where there's hopelessness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anybody got joy unspeakable? Anybody got peace that passes all understanding? Well, praise God. I'll tell you, David's wheel was pumping all the way to the end, and it wasn't broken at the cistern. Once again, we find Solomon stumbling into truth. He's describing natural death, but I want to suggest to you tonight that spiritual death is far worse than natural death. I want to suggest to you that Solomon was already at a place of spiritual death. 700 wives, 300 concubines, and temples built for all of the pagan gods of all of those foreign women. The Bible said he loved many strange women. Didn't mean strange like weird. Meant strange like they were foreigners and they brought their gods. I'll tell you, he was already spiritually dead by the time he wrote this. Already lost contact with God. What good, I have to ask you tonight, what good are the implements of the spiritual reception if they've grown rusty and full of dust with disuse? You've got a spiritual cord, a silver cord, use it. You've got a golden bowl, fill it. You've got a pitcher. That means you can go to where God is and get another round and get another drink. You don't have to stumble through life dehydrated and half dead in your spirit. You don't have to go through life almost on empty. My God, how many of you run your cars almost on empty? You're not even telling me. I know there's more Erica than you. Do you know it costs just as much to run it on full as it does to run it on empty? Praise God. Do you know you can run your spirit man on full instead of running on empty? You can come in on a Wednesday night. Wow! It's Wednesday night in the house of God. I can't wait to see what God's gonna do in this house tonight. My God, we're going to open the book of God. We're going to talk in tongues. We're going to shout and we're going to dance. Praise God. You say, well, Brother Sutton, there's not many people here tonight. Oh, friend, you don't even begin to understand. You should have been with us at the storefront when there wasn't anybody there. Hallelujah. My God, somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, it doesn't matter. It's just me and you and God. That's all we need. Me and you and the Word of God. That's all we need. Make use of that silver cord. Break out that golden bowl. Get that cistern going and get your wheel turning. Praise God. It's like a water wheel with scoops on it. And every time it passes by that cistern, it picks up another 5 gallons or so of water. And it dumps it over into a trough wherever you want it to go. It's like a primitive machine for moving water out of a cistern and into some practical application. But for you, it symbolizes the power that I've got something in my life. I don't have to sit here till I die. I don't have to sit here dry and dusty. My God, I'm so dry. Well, let me tell you, there is no lack with God. There is no, my God, there is no lack with God. God's got everything that you need. God will fill you up to the overflowing, and he'll do it on a sleepy Wednesday night. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we'll get out of here. Okay, I'm not going to get so energized that I keep you past 10 o'clock. Praise God. Let's take a look at this. Let's do an overview again of Solomon. You okay? You enjoying living for God? Somebody give me some Mel Minor Parkers from Sunday night. That's right. But I can't do that. My throat's all messed up tonight. I don't know why. Got a little cold. Got something going on. No big deal. I just don't have a wow. I could do a whoa. But that's just not nearly as effective. Praise God. Ecclesiastes 1 and 16. Solomon said, I communed with my heart. I said, lo, I'm come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yes, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. You know what he just said? He just said, I know a whole lot more than my daddy David knew. He said, I've gotten more wisdom. I have more than all who came before me. Well, the one that came just before him, that set him up, that tied him together with God, that gave him a resource to build everything he built, that gave him the gold and gave him the silver. He said, I've got more than anybody that ever came before me. He's already standing like the champ and saying, I am the greatest. You say, are you mad with Solomon? No, I'm just reading to you from the book. Chapter 2 and verse 9. So I was great, see, and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart. He had unbridled appetites. He did anything he wanted. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He said, I was sitting at the pinnacle. I was in the greatest day of Israel, and I was a miserable wreck. Nothing was bringing me pleasure. Chapter 2 and verse 17. Therefore, I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous to me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit, or chasing after the wind. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it to the man that shall be after me. Verse 19, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? He said, everything I have, I'm going to have to leave it to somebody, and that somebody may be a fool. You know, he keeps stumbling into the truth, and I don't think he realizes it, but he just described himself. David built up a mighty empire and a great connection and favor with God, and Solomon brought Israel to a place of decline and decay and brought them into paganism. And he was a fool. 2 and 24. There's nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. He said, I've reduced it. I've distilled it down to this one thing. Just enjoy the food on your plate. Just enjoy what you're doing today. There's no purpose. There's no vision. You hear what he's saying? And he said, this I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Verse 25, for who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? He said, bring on the food, bring on the drink. I'm just a carnal man. Bring it on. Nobody can eat more than I can. That's what he says. Praise God. We'll move on to David. But everyone say he's lost his spiritual vision. He's just dealing with the natural. He's built all of these gardens. He's built these great edifices. He's bought slaves, and he's propagated industry and commerce all over the world, from Babylon to Egypt, and he's an empty vessel. He's a man that is wrung out and is empty. Solomon's emphasis was on the natural. 1 and 13, I gave my heart to search and seek out wisdom. 2 and verse 1. I said, my heart, now go, I'll prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. 2 and 3, I sought my heart to give myself unto wine, and yet acquainting my heart with wisdom to lay hold on folly. He tried it all. 2 and 4, I made great works. 2 and 5, I made gardens and orchards. Verse 6, I made pools of water or reservoirs. Verse 7, I got servants and maidens and servants born into my house. And he goes on and on. Verse 8, he had a treasure trove of silver and gold. He had 700 wives, and he had 300 concubines. But not once in all of this book of Ecclesiastes, not once in the Proverbs, not once in all of Solomon's wisdom, do I find him saying, I found myself in a place where I sought out the face of God. I looked for God with desperation, or I hungered for God. Not once do I find him a man with passion after God. And by wisdom, Paul says to the church at Corinth, they knew not God. And Solomon, by wisdom, lost the wonder of the Spirit. But if we wanted to compare David with Solomon, you just need to hear the voice of the man. 1 Chronicles 28 and beginning in verse 8. 1 Chronicles 28 and 8. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, in the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God. This is David talking. That you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And thou, Solomon, David's talking to Solomon. My son, know that the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But I don't find it anywhere in the Proverbs, and I don't find it in the Ecclesiastes where Solomon sought the face of God. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then in verse 11, David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had. Everyone say, by the Spirit. Solomon's temple was built by the plan that Solomon received from David, and David received it from God. David had a silver cord that was connected. David had a golden bowl that was full. David had a main line that he could talk to God on. But Solomon fell into the trap of intellect and human reasoning and wisdom, and he lost the wonder of the Spirit. Praise God. Everybody say, not by might. Nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Say it again, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want somebody with a real difficult problem right now to shout, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want somebody that doesn't see a way out, but you know God's on your side, to say, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Clap your hands to him a little bit and shout about it. Don't lose the wonder of the Spirit. Don't lose the wonder. You don't have to be the smartest man in the world. I'm still amazed that the smartest man in the world married 700 wives. And then went out and got 300 concubines. I'd have to bring him before a review board. I really would. We'd have to talk about it. Chapter 28, verse 13. And also for the courses of the priests, the Levites, all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. Verse 14, he gave of gold by weight. All instruments of all manner of service, silver for all instruments of silver by weight. Verse 15, the weight for the candlesticks of gold. Verse 16, by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread. Verse 17, pure gold. And he's talking about all the things that were going to be made in the temple. God had given him instructions for it. Verse 19, and this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. David wasn't the wisest man that ever lived. He wasn't the strongest man that ever lived. But he had something that the Bible says was after God's own heart. From a lad all the way to the time that he died, he had a prayer life that became the prayer book of Israel. He had a song, and he's the one that gave us, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Say praise the Lord. My God. Chapter 29 and verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said to the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Everybody say, everything we do is for God. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything I do is for God. You hear Solomon? Solomon said, I sought out wisdom. Solomon said, I built the house. Solomon said, I built gardens. I built reservoirs. It was all about what he had done. But if he had just listened to his daddy said, it's all for God. God gave it. It's for God. Praise God. Verse 2. Now I've prepared with all my might for the house of my God. David said in the 27th Psalm, he said, there's just one thing that I desire, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell forever in the house of the Lord, to behold his beauty and to inquire of him. Praise God. That's all David wanted. He said, I've sought after God with all of my might. He never lost the wonder of the Spirit of God. I'll tell you this. When his silver cord was loosed, Brother Cedric, it wasn't a defeat. When his golden bowl was broken, he stepped right out of his prayer and right out of his praise, right into the presence of God. But the tragedy is that while Solomon was alive, he never used his silver cord. He never used his golden bowl. His cistern might as well have been broken, because he never did business with God other than in the very beginning, when he sought the counsel of God as a young man. Verse 3. Moreover, David said, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Everybody say, I've set my affection to the house of my God. Have you really? Have you really? Where's your heart tonight? Where's your heart tonight? Are you chasing a dollar? Are you building a house? Are you building a business? Are you chasing a skirt? Are you chasing a boy? Where's your heart? Where's your desire tonight? David knew a secret. He said, I've set my affection on things above. I've set my affection on the house of God. He knew something that Jesus dealt with when he talked to us in the New Testament. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all the rest of this will be added to you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you can feel yourself being dragged down and losing your connection with the Spirit when you put in too many hours, and when you're seeking after the dollar, and when you're running after the fame and the fortune, and you say, well, I've got to work hard. Well, let me tell you something. You can work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and keep yourself filled up with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. It's a matter of choices and priorities and perspective. Praise God. Don't lose the wonder of the Spirit. The end of Solomon's pursuits was rebellion and revolution. At the end of Solomon's tenure, when it came time for his, when I close the book, that's a subtle signal. Training. It's all about training. When Solomon was passing, it was going to fall to Rehoboam to be king over Israel. Probably better to liven him up a little bit, yeah. You know, if we should talk like this before service, huh? That's a plan. Then we wouldn't have to do it in front of all these people. Solomon left the pinnacle of Jewish power, the highest place of achievement in all their history, in the hand of his son, Rehoboam. And immediately, Israel went into rebellion. 10 tribes rebelled with Jeroboam and went away into Samaria, never to come back. Officially and fully, those tribes never make their way back. And they began the long descent into apostasy. And from that time on, there'll only be three men that raised Judah up to the place of revival. But it's a story of backsliding, paganism, idolatry, and loss. Let's stand together. Because of in his pursuit of natural things, he lost the wonder of the Spirit. Praise God. It just became a natural pursuit. I'm telling you, I love the praise group and I love the music. But if it ever just gets to be about music, we've lost the wonder of the Spirit. You take your liberty. You leave that place. You shout. You dance. I would say throw that bass through the wall, but don't do that. Lay it down and praise God. We want to have effective programs. We want to have a bigger sanctuary. We want to have a place where we can house the revival that God is pouring out in this city. Praise God. But as much as we work for that, and as many hours as we put in on that, and as much as you're working toward the success you have in your life, or you will have in your life, you never want to let those things begin to dominate your thinking and your spirit. Touch your neighbor and say, keep the wonder of the Spirit. Praise God. Anybody got a silver cord that's connected to God tonight? My God. Somebody reach up and pull on that cord tonight. Jesus. Like one of those bells you ring when you want some service. Jesus. Come see about us. We need a moving of your Spirit. Jesus. Come down in my house. I need you to lay your hand on my sick baby. Jesus, can you hear me? Jesus, I can't think my way out of these things. I can't bull my way through these things. It's not by might, nor is it by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Somebody let the Holy Ghost move in you right now. Shake yourself a little like Samson did. Somebody may want to run a little bit or shout a little bit. Whatever you got to do to get that stirred up a little bit. You say, well, I don't understand. What are you trying to do? Paul told Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that is within you. If you just sit, you'll go to sleep in your spirit. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and your want will come upon you as an armed man. But you gotta get yourself in action here. You've got to get a silver cord connected. You've got to bring your golden bowl to the place where the glory's coming down. You've got to get your pitcher and go to the fountain and draw with joy out of the wells of salvation. My God, my God, my God, I am not willing to be dead and dry and plucked up, but I want a move of the Spirit of God. Whatever it takes, I'll clap my hands. I'll lift my voice. I'll sing. I'll shout. I'll dance. But I'm not willing to become a dead, dull, dry church. If I got to throw the pulpit through the wall, I have to have some help because it's bigger than I am. Brother Jerry, we're not going to go to sleep and not get distracted in the middle of what the miracle is that God wants to do. My God, my God. You know, you can learn how to have church. and it doesn't mean anything to you, because your mind is on the next secular thing, your mind is on the next carnal thing, your mind is on the next natural thing. You can't get the checkbook out of your mind, you can't get the job out of your mind, you can't get the project at home or the trouble at the house out of your mind. You know what you need to do? You need to blow out your jets. You need to have a screaming Holy Ghost fit. You just need to say, I'm going to shout until my mind is cleared. I'm going to shout until my spirit is lifted. My God. My God. Somebody shake your silver cord. Somebody lift up your golden bowl. Somebody get that wheel moving at the cistern. Praise God. Let's gather down around the altar tonight. Grab somebody. Say, come shout with me. Get somebody. Say, come on, shout with me. Hey, hey. Come on. Talk in tongues. Come on. Talk in tongues. Let that Holy Ghost flow through you. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Get your hand on somebody. Take somebody by the hand. Talk in tongues. Talk in tongues. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Praise God. Now, turn to that one person right by you. I want you to lay your hands on one another, and I want you to pray down anointing and blessing. But before you start praying, I want you to look them in the eye and tell them, I've got the Holy Ghost of God in me. I've got the name of Jesus on my life. And I'm about to pray anointing on you. And God's going to cover you up with blessing. Do that right now. Pray for them. Give somebody a high five and tell them, I'm so glad I got the Holy Ghost.